Tonight, we are going to talk about light. In particular, we've been studying through Romans on Tuesday nights, and we are not to the point that I want to take a look at tonight yet, which is in Romans chapter 13, that describes our walk, what we do, our life in Christ. But we will get there, and in trying to figure out what to talk about, I wanted to make it somehow related to Romans, to keep in that tradition of on Tuesday nights right now we're going through Romans. So we are going to talk about getting the light right. The Bible talks about light in several places and talks about light differently. It talks about different lights. And because it talks about light and in different contexts, people get confused. And so I want to talk a little bit about that confusion and why it's important to get the light right. Amen. In Romans chapter 13, and you start seeing in Romans chapter 12, the service of a saved saint. So we're going to concentrate in Romans in chapter 13, but before we get there, I'd like to set up what the problem is. And so to do that, let's take a look then at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. In verse 25 of chapter 6, Israel says about the law, "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." Our righteousness. What we need to be aware of in the dispensation of the grace of God is that righteousness no longer comes by following the law, by the deeds of the law.
Amen.
And yet, because the Bible talks about light in different contexts, some people see in the Bible where it talks about light and they get confused. Beware of putting yourself under the law, doing the law, performing the law, the deeds of the law cannot justify you. Amen. However, when Israel received the law, that word to them was a light. It was a lamp unto their feet, directing their paths. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. In verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." This light was the way that Israel was to live. Quite literally, the light that illuminated the path that they should follow in their conversation, in their works, in the way that they were living in the world. And these instructions were to Israel. They were for Israel, but they are not for those of us who would be saved in this dispensation.
Amen.
Israel was given the law, and to Israel it was the righteousness and their way of life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about Israel and their light, their obedience to that law. Take a look at verse 14. Starting in 14, we're going to go to 20. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, in his ministry to Israel, confirmed that they were to live by the law, the light that God gave to them. And in 1 John, take a look at chapter 1. John talks about walking in the light. In chapter 1, starting in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and that him is Jesus. We just saw the message that Jesus gave. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now my question is, if you don't walk in that light, what happens? It seems like you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses you from all sins. And Christians love to popularly, but improperly, apply these verses to the church today. That is incorrect. These commands, these instructions, are from Jesus, from God, to the nation of Israel. We need to be aware of the light of the law for righteousness. Yes. Following the wrong light will put you in the wrong place, Amen, at the wrong time. So we've been studying through Romans, and Romans reveals to us in this dispensation what Israel and those whom Jesus ministered to in his earthly ministry never knew. After all, our salvation, as Romans describes in chapters 1 through 8, is a mystery kept secret since the beginning of the world, a secret that until God revealed it, Israel could not have seen, a light they could not have seen or known. So we've been studying Romans, and in general, we went through a summary of the chapters almost 2 years ago. Back on February 14th of 2023, we had our first Romans lesson. And in that lesson, we had a summary, and the summary said Romans chapters 1 through 8 are, if you summarize, basically about our salvation. And Romans 9 through 10 is about Israel's salvation. And Romans 12 through 16 is about our reasonable service. So let's talk a little bit about what we found out in our study so far, Romans 1 through 8. Well, we learned that there was a mystery kept secret, our salvation, which we've just talked about. And Jesus sent Paul to preach this mystery. At the end of Romans, we find out in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, that Paul preaches Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And if you back up to Acts, which is a book right before Romans, Paul testifies to his conversion account and what Jesus selected him to do and gave him to do as an apostle. Take a look at Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 15. And I said, that's Paul, who art thou, Lord? Speaking to Jesus. And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul was also sent with a light. God gave Israel the light of the law. That law was to be their righteousness, the performance of that law. Jesus came clarifying what that law was, and yet we saw he was not going to take away that law. He was there to fulfill it.
Amen.
And Jesus came back to Paul and gave him an apostleship to reveal a mystery that had been kept secret since the world began, the mystery of salvation to Gentiles. And we saw in Romans in our study, we talked about this apostleship that Paul had. And if you go over to Ephesians chapter 3, you'll see Paul talking about this message that he had revealed from Jesus. Start in chapter 3, verse 3 of Ephesians. How that by revelation, he, that's Jesus, made known unto me, that's Paul, the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It means Israel didn't know this. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body of Christ. And that's not in there, but I'm clarifying. That is fellow heirs with Christ, not with Israel. And partakers of his, that's Christ, promise in Christ through the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the things that were hidden that now are being revealed. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In Romans chapters 1 through 8, we learned what happened, the mystery that got revealed. Jesus died for sins. The gospel, how it's possible for righteousness without the law, for salvation without the nation of Israel, how we can get justification without our works by faith. And we learned that in our study of Romans chapters 1 through 8. In Romans 3, 20 through 24, we learned about the justification of faith. Starting in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, that's Israel's light, by the way, the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We also learned parallelly in Galatians chapter 2, that the law can't justify the deeds of the law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we learned about the gospel. We learned about our salvation in Romans chapters 1 through 8. In Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 22, going through the first part of chapter 8 there, we learned that the law was unable to justify because of the weakness of flesh. And we also learned that now there's no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 20. I'm sorry, starting with verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we learned about this gospel, and Paul encourages that we should not frustrate the grace of God by putting ourselves back under the law. Take a look at Galatians chapter 2 again. We're going to take a look at verse 20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And take a look at chapter 3, so turn the page if you need to, starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received you by the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So we learned about the gospel, but we learned also that righteousness does not come by the works of the law. And we learn not to frustrate the grace of God. We don't put ourselves back under the law. The law was the light that God gave to Israel, but the gospel that was revealed to Paul is the light that was that God shed upon us.
Amen.
And so people in Paul's time began to wonder, well, if that's the light, then what happened to the great glorious light of Israel? And that's where we found in Romans chapters 9 through 11, Paul explaining, here's what happened to Israel. So take a look at Romans chapter 9. And let's see a few selected verses out of these chapters. In Romans chapter 9, let's take a look at verses 31 and 32. What happened to Israel? Well, in 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to it. Hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, which is Jesus. and turn the page to Romans chapter 11. What happened to Israel? Take a look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So what happened to Israel? They stumbled, they've fallen, but they have a fullness that's coming. Amen. And take a look at Romans chapter 11 in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. That's the mystery that Paul preaches. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind about his promises. And he promised Israel their kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, where they would be the city on the hill, the light to the world, showing the world how God would have you operate in righteousness. But if you take your own self and you follow that light, you're now frustrating the grace of God. So we went through Romans 1 through 8. We learned about that gospel. Then we learned what happened to Israel in Romans 9 through 11. And we're still in that section of Scripture in our Romans verse by verse study. But I'd like to just do a little bit of a peek of what's coming down the line for the rest of the evening tonight. And that gets us into Romans chapters 12 through 16. And the summary of that section of Romans was that this is our reasonable service. So Paul says in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. I'd like to point out a couple of things about that, because now you have people that are already confused about the lights in the Bible, and they go and they read this in Paul's letter to the Romans, and they say, well, he's talking about the law and fulfilling the law. And what do? They put themselves, just as the Galatians did, back under the law, and they frustrate the grace of God. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Answer, no. But what is Paul talking about here? Well, first off, I might note that it says love fulfills the law. Love doesn't put you back under it. Amen. That's a key thing to remember. But secondarily, Paul's already covered salvation, justification without the law, justification by God's grace through faith in Romans chapters 1 through 8. We're talking to saved people. Amen. And this is a section to those saved people about their service. So Paul's talking about how to operate. Now that you know how you're saved, you know what happened to Israel, what now? What do you do? You know that the law can't make you righteous, and yet the law, isn't it just and holy and good? Yes. And that's what Paul says. In Romans chapter 7, verse 12, that's the very thing Paul said. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. And we should be able to recognize that, and yet, without putting ourselves under it. What is righteous is righteous. And we can recognize that. But what we can't do is try to operate or live by the works of that law. We will fail. That's the point of the law, was to teach us of sin. The sin that in the same chapter, Romans 7, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And so Paul here is not saying, put yourselves under the law to make yourselves righteous. He's saying, we know that you can't be, but love does fulfill the commandment, and here is how then you should operate, knowing that the law can't make you righteous. And so that's what Paul begins to explain in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. So we'll read those now. And this is the connection to light in Romans, which we'll go through some other connections to light, but in verse 11, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Paul's explaining how you walk not under the law, the light of the law, according to the works of the law, but how you operate as a saved saint, someone who knows the gospel, trusts and believes it, and has been given a position in Christ, is in Christ now. You cannot put yourself under the law, so how do you operate? You put on the armor of light. You cast off the works of darkness. You make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of. And so for the remainder of the lesson, I want to talk about that and then and talk about why it's important. And so what happens now? Well, we all have to live, and we want to do so according to what God would have us do. And we learn about, in these last four chapters of Romans, our walk, our life in Christ, but only after we've been established in the gospel. Yes. Service comes after salvation.
Amen.
Service is not a prerequisite. You can't serve well enough to be saved. In this dispensation, we know that because of the gospel that we find in Romans chapters 1 through 8. The mystery revealed to Paul about salvation for Gentiles by God's grace through faith. Today, salvation is by grace, not of works, and we know that from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And how then do we walk? Well, Paul talks about this subject several times in his epistles. You reckon the old man dead. You renew your mind according to the truth. And then you put on the new man. Take a look at Romans chapter 6. Part of what we learned about the gospel, our salvation, is here in Romans chapter 6. In verses 11 through 14, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." How do you live under grace? It's another way to state the question. What's your walk? What's your life in Christ look like? How do you live under grace, not under the law? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. In verses 22 through 24, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man," so this is how you operate under grace, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1 in verse 12. Actually, let's back up because let's go back to verse 9. For this cause, the cause of what Paul heard about the Colossians, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is an important factor in knowing how to walk, that you have knowledge and wisdom. And we're going to talk about how that then is the armor of light, the armor that is of the spirit, of the word, of the understanding of the truth that God has shed in this dispensation about who you are and how you can be saved. Anyway, continuing here, in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're no longer in darkness. We have light. We're in the day. And this is exactly what Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 talks about. So let's break that down for a moment. Go back to Romans chapter 13. And just summarizing what was there in verses 11 through 14, Paul contrasts the night and the day. And he says of the night that this is sleep. You sleep in the night. That this is where the works of darkness happen. The night is where rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, envying, and fulfilling the lust of the flesh occur. But yet the light of the gospel has made it so now you operate as in the day. Amen. The day is where you're awake. So awake out of sleep. Because we're in the day. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. The day is light. Walk honestly. As in the day, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. The night and the day are contrasted here. How do we operate? We operate in the day. And that means in the knowledge of the light of the truth. And the truth is what we read about in Romans chapters 1 through 8 and then 9 through 11. And now we're getting here to your service. Amen. Service follows salvation. Amen. And so light, the timing, by the way, in these verses is now. Now is the day. Now is the high time. Now is salvation nearer than when we believed. Now is the night far spent. Now is the day at hand. Now is when we walk as in the day. And light, then, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, I think we read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17, but if we didn't, this is where this comes from. Light is what makes it plain to see. Light is what makes truth manifest. How do we know how to operate? Because the light makes it manifest. Amen. Who we are in Christ, the salvation that we have been given by God's grace, and the understanding that righteousness no longer comes through the law, allows us then to operate in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and by God's grace. That is the light, the truth, the knowledge that allows us to put off the old man, renew our minds in the truth, and put on the new man. To put on the armor of light, to put on Christ, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. Putting on the armor of light is indeed acknowledging the truth of the gospel. And it's here where we understand then that there is a need for discerning the lights in the Bible. Because just like people want to popularly apply 1 John to the church today, people also like to popularly apply the gospel of the kingdom, Israel's kingdom, to the church, the body of Christ today, which includes their adherence to and following the law. As Jesus himself said, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you are in no wise going to enter the kingdom. And so what we learn from the Bible is that there's a need to discern the lights in the Bible. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There are powers in high places, and they are broadcasting from those high places a light. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 14. Oops, skipped it. And no marvel. By the way, in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Beware. For no marvel, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What's happening today is that because of the light that God shed, there are others who are also shedding the wrong light and trying to put you back under the light of righteousness by Israel's law, becoming ministers of righteousness, but it's the wrong righteousness. We've already learned from Romans, righteousness doesn't come by the law. And here we see that there are those that would preach a light that is not the light of the gospel that we know, God's grace given freely to us by faith. Righteousness of God given freely to us by faith without the law. And if you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, backing up in verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Discerning the devilish light, then, is something that you must do.
Amen.
And because there are wiles of the devil and spiritual wickedness in high places, and Satan himself transformed into an angel of light and his ministers of righteousness, then if you don't put on the armor of light, if you don't operate according to the truth that you know of the gospel, if you don't acknowledge the truth of the gospel, you can be confused, and other lights will outshine or blind you to the light of the truth, especially in this dispensation. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats and many more things that are under the law, the light that God gave to Israel, the way of their life, are things that are identified in this verse as lies, hypocrisy, and doctrines of devils from seducing spirits. You have to discern the lights in the Bible. Amen. Otherwise, you could have your conscience seared with an hot iron. You could be convinced that somehow, as the Galatians were being convinced, you need to become perfect in the flesh. You could frustrate the grace of God. Take a look at Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Apparently, there are, even in Paul's time, others going around preaching other gospels. Not the gospel that God gave when he dispensed his grace, revealed the mystery to Paul, and made Paul an apostle to preach Jesus according to that mystery. And so, putting on the armor of light, then, is what protects you from these false gospels and from misunderstanding how to operate in the dispensation of grace. It protects you from thinking, I need to put myself then back under the light of Israel, righteousness from their law. So take a look then. There's a few other places where Paul talks about this armor. So we're connecting Romans chapter 13 and the way that you live, putting on Christ, to this armor that you're putting on. What does it entail? In Ephesians chapter 6, take a look there. Starting then in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These things that Paul just lists are the armor of God, the armor of light that Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 13, and they all have to do with the gospel. They all have to do with the light of truth that God shed onto us and that being in the mystery that was revealed to Paul, which Paul was sent to preach. So it's not as difficult to understand the light here when we start reading more about the armor of light. Amen. We can see it has to do with knowledge. It has to do with truth. It has to do with understanding. And when we, as we've already said, put off the old man, renew our mind in the truth, that's the armor part. The armor part is renewing our mind in the truth so that we can then put on the new man with the understanding of being in the day. The light has already made manifest the old man, the darkness, the wicked works of darkness, so that we can discern, yep, that's the old man. And now with the knowledge that we have, with the armor, we can renew our mind. Yes, that's the old man. Yes, I know how I was saved. I know who I am in Christ. I'm no longer that person. Putting it off and then putting on who you are in Christ, which is the new man. This is how you operate in today's dispensation, not putting yourself back under the law. Amen. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting here in verse 4, that every one of you, verse 4 of chapter 5, but ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And finally, let's take a look at Philemon, the only chapter in Philemon, chapter 1, starting in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Jesus Christ. Acknowledging the truth is what makes it effectual, effective. And that, again, is summarized in put off the old man, renew your mind in the truth, put on the new man, or put on the armor of light, or put on the armor of God, put on Christ. And so finally, we'll end it out here then, looking at 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord, we've been talking about how Romans chapter 13, really Romans chapter 12 through the end of the book there, is about the service of the saved saint. And here in 2 Timothy... The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Why? Because it's the truth that they need, the gospel, so that they too can discern the works of darkness, their old man, from who they are made in Christ. And how does that work? Well, you as the servant of the Lord, you're teaching other people this truth. To those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. When the truth is acknowledged, then what happens? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The light the wrong light that the devil is the angel of. There's a weapon against that, and it's the acknowledgement of the truth, the preaching of the truth. Amen. And when that truth is acknowledged, it becomes effectual. And so what should we do when we see light in the Bible? Well, we need to get the light right. Amen. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Pam.